You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Recording this on Tuesday morning, 11:30 in the UK. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall are here and with you ahead of the PGA Championship, the final major championship this season. Dave Tindall, first of all, a warm welcome to you. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave. Yes, last major of this season, but not next season, because it'll be the second major next season. I can't quite get my head around that.
It'll be a bit strange, won't it? I think it might give this tournament a bit more purpose, though, because...
Do you think? Why?
Yeah, I just view it as a... it seems like a standard PGA Tour event to me, a little bit.
But why will moving it in the date change that?
Well, it won't come directly after a WGC, which is I think going to be a huge factor. I don't know. I'm hoping that it's going to give it a little bit more.
I think they need to move it abroad.
Do you think so?
Before it, it's hard to do that, isn't it?
We've spoken about this in previous podcasts, haven't we? Where you think it should be maybe a worldwide major championship, so go down under to Australia, maybe over in China, Japan.
But how do they sort of square that with it being with a load of sort of PGA professionals in it?
I think it's impossible,
it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's impossible. We are a week on from the WGC Bridgestone, where Justin Thomas claimed his seventh title in his last 40 starts now. Some player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bit of both, hasn't he? He's kind of got, I don't know, like some of the best talent you've got going, allied with one of the best brains going. That's a pretty devastating combination, isn't it? So he won that kind of like Tiger used to win them. Got a lead, no one got near him.
Yeah.
Saw it out.
And he played smart golf, didn't he, final round?
Yeah, I mean, he had a few loose drives, didn't he? But he was always sort of, got a few breaks maybe, but he was making sure he didn't compound any errors, and he just got it done really nicely.
PGA Championship then, Mr. Tindall. Dustin Johnson, 8-1 favourite here with William Hill. Rory McIlroy, 11-1. Justin Thomas, 12-1. Brooks Koepka and Jason Day, both 18s. Justin Rose is 18-1 as well. Jordan Spieth is 20s. Ricky Fowler, 20s. John Rahm, 22s. Tommy Fleetwood, 22-1, 25-1. And bigger the remainder. I need to get this right about the super bet boost as well, because... each and every major championship this season, I think, have given some incorrect details about the super bet boost. So I've actually copied it down from the guide this time. So you get 3 tournament winner boosts and 4 daily tournament winner live boosts per customer. Singles only, maximum stake £25 win or £12.50 each way, and on the each way bets only the win part is boosted. That's the key point. Mobile and desktop only, and the player restrictions and terms apply. So you do have your super bet boost in operation for this PGA Championship. And I know the regular bet boost would boost Dustin Johnson to around about 10-1. So if you're using your super bet boost, you can get over 10s on Dustin Johnson to £25, which is obviously very, very attractive. Should we start by talking about the golf course?
Yes,
Dave, because Belrive Country Club is the host venue for this PGA Championship. It's a course that was designed by the legendary architect Robert Trent Jones and has been renovated by his son Rhys Jones in 2005. It's a par 70 that measures 7,329 yards on the scorecard, but there's some leeway in terms of that yardage. The tee at the 11th, that will be moved up to create a risk and reward drivable par 4, for instance. So it can range from anything from 7,200 to 7,400 this week. And this course hosted the PGA Championship back in 1992, and more recently, the BMW Championship in 2008. How much those two events should influence thinking this week is debatable. I'd suggest not a lot, personally. What are your thoughts?
It has influenced one of my picks, to be fair, because I looked at those events. And to me, from kind of one of the advantages of being a little bit older than you, Dave, is I can remember a lot of kind of 90s golf.
Okay.
When you were still a child. And there's a lot of plodders in there, I think. I think there's a lot of real, what you'd call steady eddies, who aren't the sort of flamboyant characters. So I don't know whether that's a coincidence, but it's over a few events. You've got like people like Jim Furyk, obviously you know that, but Dudley Hart, he was a real sort of plodder. Choi was a bit of a plodder. In 1992, you've got people like Jim Gallagher Jr., Jeff Maggot, Dan Forsman, Russ Cochran. They're all Duffy Waldorf. They're all these sort of, you know, they're hardly the sort of cutting edge players of their time. So I think it might suit short, well, not short and steady, but steady.
We're not 100% sure, are we, obviously, because the quotes in the lead up to the championship from players that have maybe had practice rounds at Bellevue, for instance, Justin Thomas says this is a real driver's golf course, which would maybe suggest, I don't know how... How much
not very long, really, though, is it, in these days?
It's not, but we kind of commented about that at Firestone last week, and we had a leaderboard that was populated by real bombers, didn't we, really?
Yeah.
And I just get the feeling...
It was sort of soft, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite soft. I think this golf course will play a little bit quicker this week than Firestone did in the early rounds last week, anyway. But I wonder how different the golf course is going to be since the renovations in 2005. I know we've seen it once in 2008, but...
There's a seniors major play as well. Again, you've got like Kenny Perry, sort of plodder, winning that. Well, no, he was going to win and he got overtaken by...
Kenny Perry's long off the tee, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's sort of... I don't know whether plodder may be the wrong word. Plodder, I mean, just sort of steady.
Okay.
They can have a bit of length off the tee, but he got beaten by a Japanese guy, didn't he? Who again, Japanese guys tend to suit these sort of courses where it's tree-lined and not overly long. So I thought maybe there's a few hints in these past results, maybe.
The real feature of the golf course is the greens, the huge, these bent grass greens, and finding the right sections will be crucial, you would expect. That's probably going to be the key to success this week. It does feel like a ball striker's golf course, and even though some will disagree with me, it doesn't maybe have the feel of a major championship like the other three do. Even though it maybe doesn't feel like a major, four of the last six winners have still been elite. We've had some shocks in this event, but four of the last six have been the best in the game, basically.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I look at the course, I don't think it's anything. It's just like another course, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It is what it is for a PGA. I suppose to give them some credit, at least they don't try and reinvent the wheel with it like they've been doing in the US Open and making a complete horlicks of it.
Yeah.
They're just kind of offering up a slightly sort of turned up PGA Tour track, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a bit of a test. Yeah, I think that's the perfect way of describing it, a turned up PGA Tour test.
Yeah, they've just turned the dial a little bit.
What punters want to know is which courses do you think correlate with this one? Any thoughts on that?
Well, one of the things people have picked up on, it's got the old Zoysia grass, which isn't very common in the United States on the big golf courses, but it has been used a few times. So St Jude, TPC Southwind, that uses that grass. We saw it at Trinity Forest, which was the new home of the Byron Nelson.
Yep.
Although that was a really wide open course, so it's a bit different. But
this is a tree-lined golf course, isn't it?
Yeah.
Water's there, but it doesn't come into play.
Not really, no. It's more of a decoration. Yeah. It's more the line. You get these sort of fluffed up lies that are beautiful to hit off. St Jude, Trinity Forest, Eastlake, home of the Tour Championship, was the other one. So there's a bit of correlation there.
That's a Reece Jones, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And obviously anything tree-lined you might want to look at as well, maybe, just in terms of suiting someone's eye.
And any trends with this major in your mind?
Back in the day, I remember you always backed someone who was due to win one who hadn't won one. And to be fair, that's sort of repeated of late. I think it's seven of the last nine.
Yeah, I think
onto
it's
a first
time. I think it's even more. I think it's 10 of the last 12 now.
So if you go further back, yeah. So like Justin major Thomas win. Last year, in theory, he was a great, kind of almost like an old school pick for this event.
Yeah.
Due a major win or looked ready to win one and won it. So Yeah, that certainly does seem to be a trend. Obviously, it works better in this major because it's the furthest on in the year. So that is more for the... I'm going back to another trend here. Guys who have already won this year.
Mm.
Is it 15 out of 18 or 16 of the last 19 had already won that year before going on to win this
That's
one?
That's it. And form at Firestone's been a good pointer.
Tied 28th or better.
Yeah.
Every winner here has been at Firestone. So if you've played poorly at Firestone, you don't tend to be able to find it suddenly here. So there is a good trends major.
Yeah. I've got a couple of picks.
Yes, I've got a sort of really main pick. I think you've got the same person.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with the same guy here, aren't we then? Dustin Johnson?
Yeah.
I think this is the week for him, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can't... He's too good to have only won one major, and now he's going to win another one, because I don't think this course is anything particularly tricky or trappy. I think he's done a lot of winning on this sort of thing. I mean, he's won three times this year by a margin of 17 shots. I mean, that's... Used to be we used to say Rory's best is better than anyone else's. I think his DJ's best is better than anyone else's. I mean, you saw him last week. He was going nowhere. And then suddenly he's all... If Thomas had buckled a little bit, Dustin Johnson could have caught him.
Mm-hmm.
So he came from nowhere to finish tied third. Shot two shots better than anyone else over the weekend. I just think he's played himself absolutely into position to go and win this, possibly, Dave, by a significant margin.
Yeah, you fancy him to win easily, don't you, this week?
I really do.
I hope your confidence is justified. I think the price is fair as well.
I do. I'm thinking, what would I have accepted? I would have maybe gone down to something like 13-2 and thought that's about the limit.
I thought it'd be a 13-2 7-shot this week.
If you boost him up, you're saying you can boost him to 10s, about 10s
Yeah,
or
you
more.
Can. Yeah, yeah. If you're Absolutely. Using the Superbet boost for £25. And I looked through some of the courses that correlate well with this one that you mentioned earlier. He's played well on those types of golf courses, including this year where he won in St Jude.
By
Southwind.
By six.
Was it by six?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He was sensational, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Later on, especially at the St Jude. Obviously, that course shares similarities with this one at Belrive in terms of the grass. And you just look... He's number one in strokes gained off the tee and tee to green. Only slight area of weakness is his strokes gained around the green, and I don't think that's going to be... I think that's the area I'd focus on least this week. And I think the greens... We're not spoken about the greens. The pictures that have emerged in the lead-up to the championship suggest these greens are a little bit burnt out, and some prominent golf writers have questioned the wisdom of coming to St. Louis in August.
This time of year, yeah.
They do look parched, these greens, and some patches have been spray-painted green, haven't they? Which is bizarre for a major championship too.
But like, I mean, they're not running that fast, are they? So then,
I don't think they could run that fast because they're
quite undulating, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're that burnt out
that
I don't think you couldn't cut them down
so
any further.
So they're going to chuck some water on them, aren't they?
Oh, definitely.
So Dustin Johnson can wedge away.
Yeah.
Knocking birdie put after birdie put from about 8 feet.
Are you going win only?
Yeah.
I'm as well. I'm playing 3 points win Dustin Johnson eights.
Let's double that and go six then. Yeah,
I like it. So Dustin Johnson, the main pick.
Yeah,
he
cannot be stuck on one major for any longer. This is time to kick on and win 3, 4, 5.
We're not telling you anything original here, are we, listeners?
No, but it's kind of, you know. Well, I guess sometimes people look at that top bunch of players and think, oh well, maybe I'll pick that one. But I can see doubts over all the other ones, maybe apart from Justin Thomas.
Yeah, he's the only one that I think... But then he's a lot shorter price than he was last week. I do say that a lot on this podcast.
Yeah,
But
I think that's more last week was wrong than this week is wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think some of the quotes from last week in the early stages were pretty mad. I mean, we were pretty... bottom price in the market for last week in the end at 18s.
I mean,
and he's 12s this week, and I think that's the right price.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you could look at, could he defend the title? Well, we've seen him defend the title at the CIMB. Could he win back-to-back weeks? He's done that in Hawaii, so he can do those little things that you ask yourself, but I suppose he's got to do both of those this week. I don't know, mate. Did you just think that his driving in the final round last week, he was just starting to go off a little bit.
You know what I think happened last week? He had to go against his nature in that final round.
Right.
Naturally, he just wants to attack golf courses, doesn't he, Justin Thomas? And I think for him to have to play conservatively didn't quite compute.
Right.
And he got a little bit defensive. He knew he was on the winning score when he was 14 under par early in the round. And it just doesn't play to his strengths.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be aggressive and attacking all the time, Justin Thomas. So that wouldn't concern me.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Unduly, to be honest, with him. And I think 12-1 is probably the right price. I think Dustin Johnson is playing better than Justin Thomas.
Yeah, I do.
Personally, and I think he is still the number one player, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Even though Justin Thomas has that phenomenal strike rate, so does Dustin Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think DJ's the one who could just absolutely rip it apart this week.
Second pick then, Dave.
Well, I thought when I was saying plodders, maybe I just meant sort of tee to green types when I was saying like Kenny Perry. That sort of encompasses all those sort of players.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then back to the trend of someone who maybe deserves a major, having contended in lots of them. He's not a very exciting pick, but Matt Kuchar at 66s.
All right, okay. That's you've shocked me there a little bit.
Right. For starters, he's good in this major. Some players sort of maybe they see it as the poor relation and maybe they've sort of majored out by this stage. But tied ninth last year, tied seventh in 2015, tied 10th in 2010. So last seven, he's got three top tens and a 19th and a 22nd. So he's always around there. Tied ninth at the Open. I think people might think, really? I didn't even notice him, but he was tied ninth at the Open there. And I thought he did well last week as well, tied 14th at Firestone, hitting it nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's kind of, you don't, clearly he's not an unremarkable player, but he gets lost a bit in the, because of all the sort of fanfare around him. But I just think on this course, which is fairly whatever, I think it might just promote someone like him, who's just going to steady his way around and hole a few putts and be right in contention. I just think 66 is too big for what he's done of late and in this event overall. And he's very good in the majors. You know, last seven majors, he's got a second, a fourth, and two ninths. Now, we'd be raving if that was some sort of young kid.
Yeah, yeah. I get
you
that.
It wouldn't be that sort
he's
of price.
He's definitely not fashionable, is he?
No, so, year after year, he plays well in the majors, and particularly in the last couple of years. So I just think if there's one he's going to win, maybe it'll just be this slightly lower key one.
Yeah, okay. I get that. So your second selection, Matt Kuchar, yeah, 66 to 1.
Not at 40s, not at 45s. Yeah. 50s, I'm probably going, but 66, yes.
I'm going the same guy I went with last week. I'm going John Rahm as my second selection. I know you.
Right, you've got some explaining to do.
Yeah, I think.
Why is he no good at majors?
I think this price will maybe get bigger. He's 22s at the moment. I'd wait until Wednesday, I think, before pulling the trigger on John Rahm, because I can't see him being that popular this week. And Dave, I've read your Roto World golf preview of this event as well, so I know that you're going to say high-profile failures in major championships for John Rahm.
Yeah.
But it is still only a matter of time. And those trends we talked about earlier on in the podcast, he fits them all, doesn't he, basically?
Yeah, he played G1, won this year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and played well at Firestone. And you look at that performance at Firestone and you see he finished in a tie for 17th and you think, unremarkable performance. What you'd expect from John Rahm, on the lower side of what you'd expect from John Rahm. But he ranked second in strokes gained tee to green, and he ranked ninth in strokes gained approach for the week, which is particularly encouraging because, as I mentioned on last week's podcast, the iron game is the area that's held him back. And he lost six strokes with the putter on the week, which is a real aberration for him, particularly on bent grass greens, which he'll face this week. If he'd gained strokes gained neutral with the putter, he'd have finished second last week and he would not be 22 to 1 for this major. I will get stuck in to him now rather than wait until he's 14s and 16s for major championships, which he will be in due course. And I think this track looks to be the perfect fit for Rahm. And he's still in the infancy of his career, isn't he, as far as majors are concerned. And I think it's a definite positive this week that the players are going to a course that none of the more experienced leading contenders have an edge over him in terms of course form. They're all basically looking at this for the first time, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bellerive, or a lot of them are, the likeliest contenders. So I think he's the perfect fit this week. I think he's a future number one. I'm going John Rahm 22-1.
Yeah, for all his major record is fairly dreadful. He was fourth at the Masters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I remember reading some quotes before that where he said he doesn't quite know how to prepare for a major yet. Does he play the week before? Does he have a few weeks off?
It's not a coincidence, I don't think, that the PGA Championship has unearthed first time major champions in recent history, because it doesn't have the feel of a major.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, there's no tricks here. It's not the US Open. It's not the Open Championship where you've got to modify your game and you can have the John Rahm meltdown where you hit one loose shot and things go upside down quickly. This is basically a regular PGA Tour stop, this one, at Bellerive. And I think that's a definite positive for Rahm.
Yeah, I think so. But It's his own internal pressure that he's putting on himself, I think.
Do you think that's what it is?
He's getting too worked up. I mean, we'll check in a sec, but I don't know whether it might be even better, given what you've said, to back him now for the Masters. Because if he has a big week here, maybe without winning, then clearly he now knows he can play Augusta National.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a chance to win that still, didn't he? Went in the water on 15.
He's 16-1 for the Masters.
That's that strategy.
I'd rather back him at 22-1 this week, I think, than for the Masters at 16s right now.
He's obviously an amazing talent, isn't he? And he'll get it right soon.
We're kind of not at loggerheads here, but we think differently about Rahm, don't we, at this stage of his career?
In terms of
you think he's too hot-headed to win a major championship right now, whereas I'm looking at it from a slightly different angle, perhaps?
Possibly, yeah. I think
you'd want to see more major form in the book.
Maybe
is that
just
fair?
One more.
Because
it's unusually poor. It's not just like average. He's like missing cuts.
But you can kind of...
I think as soon as it gets away from me,
Can you not kind of excuse Carnoustie? He just had a mad hour, didn't he?
You can go through them all. Well, can you excuse that one? And you keep... And then how many times do you need to sort of do it?
I suppose.
Just in his own head, it's how he can handle like a double bogey, because it gets away from him. Because he was favourite to win the Open, wasn't he?
After
round one or during? Was it after round one?
It was during round two.
Yeah,
yeah. I think mentioned it on last week's podcast. Yeah. It was manic. It was a manic half hour he had, basically.
But yeah, no, I don't doubt his talent at all. He's amazing.
Yeah. So 22-1, John Rahm, and I'll play him a point each way with that. Going with that 3 points win on Dustin Johnson. That's the end of the picks then, Dave. Supporting markets, any you want to mention before we talk through maybe a couple at the top?
Top Asian player.
Yes.
I like Aniban Lahiri a lot for this. He was tied six.
He's 9-1, by the way. Quarter of the odds, 1, 2, and 3 if you're playing each way in that market.
Just read through his rivals.
Hideki Matsuyama, 11-4. Benny Arn is 6-1. Siwoo Kim, 7s. Hao Tong Li and Aniban Lahiri, both 9s, along with Kirede Kepibarnerat. Wee Kim is 14, 16s bar.
Yeah, so Matsuyama is out of form. Benny Arn is kind of a kind of the Asian John Rahm in terms of being rubbish at majors. Shocking performances in majors.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It's bizarre, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Siwoo Kim played well last week, didn't he? So Hao Tong Li is the one, isn't he? But I'm not convinced this is his course.
I could see Siwoo Kim doing okay. I mean, he's an electric ball striker, and if these greens are on the poor side, shall we say, I think there are a lot of players have been talking about maybe in the afternoon there'll be some footprints
discrepancy. Yeah,
yeah, and they'll be okay on the morning, but pretty crusty on an afternoon, perhaps. Yeah.
I just think Lahiri...
That'll suit Siwoo Kim because he can't putt.
Don't we know that? He backed him at Hilton Head this year. Yeah, Lahiri, that six didn't come out of nowhere because he was ninth at the Travellers, 13th at Quicken Loans, 39th, oh, that wasn't that great, at Greenbriar. So his last four starts on American soil, 9, 13, 39, 6.
Yeah.
So I think he's been playing. And, of course, he was fifth in this event at Whistling Straits in 2015. Mm. First Indian golfer to be, male golfer to be in the top five of a major. So I think he's got some nice confidence coming in. I just think it's kind of, he's got some rivals that have done nothing in majors before. He has, and obviously the market leader, Matsuyama, is not at it, is he, at the minute?
No, he looks out of sorts, doesn't he? He's a massive price for this this PGA Championship as a consequence at 50-1.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have thought this time.
Well,
last year he'd be 50-1. He went
just
off.
Won. He just shot 61 to win at Firestone. Well, he led at halfway, didn't he? I think I put him up on this podcast.
Nearly won.
Folded, didn't he?
Yeah, late on. Yeah. Thomas came past him, but I think he went off 16, 18 to 1 for this last year. It may be even shorter than that, actually.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
I think he was a bit shorter than that, Matsuyama. 50-1 this year. Others worthy of mention. Then I know we've rambled on a little bit about John Rahm and about Dustin Johnson, etc. At the top of the market, McIlroy, 11-1.
Too short for. Why is he shorter now than Thomas? Thomas is going past him in terms of
everything. Particularly wins.
If your bottom line is just results, Thomas has gone past him.
I think he's too short. His iron player's off, isn't it, as well? I didn't see anything. That capitulation on Sunday was concerning.
I think he hit about seven greens on the last day.
Yeah, and he only hit one fairway on the front nine, I think, as well.
Yeah, so he was... Yeah, I looked at the stats at halfway, and his stats, tee to green, were fairly terrible. He was saving himself with short game, whereas Jason Day's were brilliant.
Yeah.
Long game.
What about Jason Day, 18-1?
It's just the way he did collapse, didn't he? And his driving, his...
I think the chance was gone, though. They must have been
a
bit...
Yeah, I think there's some... It was the same with Mark Leishman. Mark Leishman just had four bogeys on the spin on the back nine once the chance had gone. Those two Aussies could go well. I think you've got... Any time Brooks Koepka plays a major, it's phenomenal, his record.
He could be... He's definitely one, isn't he, on the shortlist at 18-1?
Fifth last week without really causing a stir, but... Just whereas John Rahm isn't getting it, he absolutely knows how to get it right in a major.
Absolutely, I understand
and,
that.
You know, he's got two. He's got more than Dustin Johnson.
Yeah,
we're on the wrong horse.
Brooks Koepka 18-1. I can see him going well. Tiger,
no,
not for me. 25-1.
Yeah, that. I took a sort of. You could take a very positive view of what he did at Carnoustie, but mine was sort of how quickly he folded once he hit the lead.
I've read a lot about.
I just thought, oh no.
I don't know if his body is ready for the amount of golf he's playing either.
Possibly, yeah. And I thought particularly Carnoustie was almost, if you're going to try and design somewhere for him to do well, 2018 Tiger, it was Carnoustie, not a parkland course in America where people can outhit him and outscore him.
Yeah. The two that came closest for me away from the top end of the market.
Yeah.
One of them, I'd need to see quotes about his well-being, Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
Who
loves this major.
Loves this major, and the numbers that I have run, strokes gained approach and that sort of thing, he comes out very favourably, and he's got a good record at those correlating courses as well. Henrik Stenson, Eastlake. Etc. etc. So he comes out particularly well, Henrik Stenson. But the elbow injury sounds more serious than Rose's back spasms are, which worries me a little bit. But that's why he's 40-1, and I think it wouldn't surprise me if he went well. He is 42 years old now, though. So,
but he's come fifth and sixth in the two American majors this year.
Yeah,
I mean that's a PB, isn't it, in the Masters? Never any good there. So,
and he struck it brilliantly at Firestone and lost loads of ground on the greens.
Mm.
So he's of interest to me at 40-1. The other one was Webb Simpson, who was in the betting at 50-1. Obviously, really struggled when the anchoring ban came into operation. But there's a lot to like about his current form and his fit this week. He's, he's putting brilliantly now, Webb Simpson, and his major form has been top quality this season. He's been inside the top 20 in the first three. Iron play very strong. Took down a top field at Sawgrass. I think he'll go well at 50-1.
Yeah, I'd looked at a fairly trends type pick, Bryson DeChambeau, because he's won this year. He looks like he's going to be a player. Maybe he's not done enough in the majors just yet, maybe, but he looks like he's someone who could win one. And he got better and better each round last week. Started off with 75, which on a day when people were shooting 62s and stuff, left him miles behind, but he did come back well. So I thought 66 was okay on him. Paul Casey, I'd love to have backed Paul Casey, but I keep reading stuff where he says he's battling his swing.
Yeah.
And it sort of started in the final round of the Travellers when he had a three-shot lead going in? I've read stuff since, he's just fighting his swing and the numbers reflect it. So. Yeah. It could be a good course for him. I think Alex Noren's just slightly gone off the boil.
Yeah, I think he's a bit short as well at 40-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I think will go well. That's kind of the modern day plodder, if you like, Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, I can
I think
see
he's
that.
Everything. It's kind of, he's a bit sort of dour and he's a bit sort of. He's very slow.
He's just slow, isn't he?
He's very slow and he's hardly sort of a laugh a minute in interview either, is he? So I think maybe this major and course might just be his little right for him.
33-1 is Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, I think we've ducked him a bit there as well.
And just one more name I want to mention, Ryan Moore, I think could go well this week. He is, if you fancy him for a top 20, which I think is the bet that when you're thinking about Ryan Moore, you're thinking, maybe he'll squeeze into the top 20. He's 4-1 to finish in the top 20. Finished 12th in the Open, 13th in the PGA Championship last year, was 28th in the Masters as well. I think he could be the... Well, we're going back to sort of in the Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay mould, isn't it? So I think he might surprise a few this week.
Although, and I, out of respect, I think we should mention the Open champion, Francesco Molinari.
Yes.
There's no reason why he shouldn't really go well on this track. Tee to green. Just whether you think...
Is it too soon?
But is it? I don't know. Obviously, it's easy to look at him last week and think, oh, yeah, he's just sort of putting his feet up now for the rest of the season. But I don't know. It, almost, if he hadn't won the Claret Jug, we'd be quite excited about his chances this week. 28s.
Yeah, probably fair. Dave, let's wrap up then.
Yeah, so, well, it's a joint effort on Dustin Johnson.
It is a joint effort. Yeah. We're going to have 6 points win between us, aren't we? 8-1 on Dustin Johnson. But do use that super bet boost. Absolutely. If you've got one as well, and boost that price up. And the other pick?
Yes, I'm going to go a point each way, Matt Kuchar at 66-1.
Yeah, and I'm going to go a point each way on John Rahm at 22-1. And you've got that supporting market bet as well.
Yeah, I'm just going to have a point win on Aniban Lahiri to be the top Asian player at nines.
Yeah, and I think if I was to have a supporting bet, I won't. I'd do that Ryan Moore to finish inside the top 20 at 4-1. Thank you for your company, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure you follow us both on Twitter as well, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website. And don't forget to subscribe and download via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And myself and Dave will be back for a debrief next week. What is it next week? Have we got anything next week? Have you got any clue what's next week?
Is it that Wyndham thingy?
I've got no idea what's next week. So we'll be back with a debrief next week, and we'll look ahead to the next two events as well. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Enjoy the final major championship this season, and the best of luck with your betting here at William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.